Good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters. Paradigm Shifters are people making a big difference right now, and there's a lot of differences being made, I tell you. Our Paradigm Shifter today is a very, very exciting scholar of the Mayan calendar and the whole Mayan philosophy and how it's reflected in the world that you and I know. And I was listening to an interview we did with Dr. Kalaman in 2007, and it was so intriguing, I knew that it was time to get our update. So welcome to the show, Dr. Carl Johan Kalaman.
Thank you very much.
And are you in Sweden right now?
Yes, I'm in Sweden here, and it's the snow is melting, but it's sort of this kind of gray, boring Easter weather. That's it's typical of this kind of year because before the real spring has begun and the winter is not over yet, quite. I'm here. For another 10 days or so, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, we're up in the gray weather of the Pacific Northwest over here in the west coast of America. You probably know this area too, huh?
Yes. Oh, yes. Very well. Yes.
So we're all in the gray today, but there's a lot of light in the gray, isn't there?
Oh, yes. I'm just reporting.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. You know, as I was going through some of your material and I was reading about The Purposeful Universe, which is your new book, and I was reading The Conscious Convergence, which is a recent article that came out. There's so much on the YouTubes about the world economic situation. So I just want you to, if you don't mind, bring us up to date and how what's going on the planet is shifting the massive human consciousness and one other thing I want to throw in, we're talking about communications from Sweden to Bellingham, Washington, and apparently the surges in communication have represented the days in the Mayan calendar, is that right?
Yeah, certainly. There's been, you might say that there are different waves, different evolutionary waves, and as you mentioned, then the times in those waves that are peaks, like forward-moving periods, they are what you might call days. In other words, the creative light enters the planet and gives rise to new phenomena. And in some of these waves, you can clearly see that whenever this kind of creative light has been entering the planet, you can see that there is also an expansion taking place of our means of communications. So that applies to one level, the 5,000 years, so-called long count, which essentially developed means of communications that were all about writing and on paper and so forth. And then on top of that came the one that used electromagnetism for communication, which started with the idea of a telegraph and then went through to the optical telegraph, the electrical telegraph, the telephone, the radio, the television, and eventually internet becomes the sort of end product in terms of how that particular wave developed the means of communication.
Is that still part of the same wave that started 5,000 years ago, or are these new waves that are coming and decreasing space between them?
The telecommunications, in the sense of communicating over a distance, it comes with a new wave. It comes with a wave that created the human ability to use electromagnetism and electricity, which was not at hand in the earlier wave, so to speak. It just seems like these waves are making people sensitive to certain fields. And so with a new wave, a new sensitivity comes in, and that's what developed this particular. Now, here, we right now, you might say, we're in yet another speeding up of these different waves. So we're in a wave that started only in 1999, and that basically has gone from the beginning of the with the web pages and stuff like that. But then there's been waves within that that's becoming more and more apparent to us. Waves that are about, you know, blogging and social media and stuff like that.
And YouTube.
And YouTube. I think that's a wave, you know, that's a pulse of its own. So somehow these waves are helping human creativity, and it's been very apparent, especially with, as you're saying, if you're studying the human means of communications. But this is a way we're still so much wrapped up in and so much part of it that we may not really at this point have all the objective answers. So,
well, I just want to ask one question about that, which is that it, like 5,000 years ago when you said that communication started with the written word, well, also I was listening today to some YouTubes and you were mentioning, because I'd like to talk about the economic world, but you were saying that around 5,000 years ago was when man first started with a coin. And I thought, I wonder if that's like these waves represent sort of an influx of human potential or lifting us out of our limitation and being able to conceive of more productive or changes in productivity. If that's productive, I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, in the circumstance, I think it definitely is productive because probably the institution of money and the coins, beginning with the first weighed pieces of silver that was used in ancient Egypt and Sumeria, that it meant a new level of abstraction, if you like, a new level expression of human potential. Each of these levels have their, each of these waves have a purpose of their own. And so you might say that this wave starting 5,000 years ago that developed the means of tender to a more and more sophistication and more higher and higher level of abstraction, they certainly had as a consequence a tremendous development of the economy and technology. And probably without it, it never would have happened.
It's interesting that it coincided with the beginning of the written word, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's just when you study the Mayan calendar, you come to a different kind of understanding of history, where it seems like ultimately what's driving history are changes in the human mind.
Yeah, and, I like that.
Yeah, and so they were, as you said, they were synchronous or they were coincident. The idea to start writing, which is one way of abstracting reality, and the use of money, which was another way of abstracting reality. In other words, abstracting value in that particular case. And so in this view, what's driving history is the human mind. Mm-hmm. But then the human mind in turn is really driven in its own part, in its own turn, it is driven by changes that, according to the Mayan tradition, were changes in the world tree. They were cosmic energies coming from the central axis of the universe that shifted around the mentality of human beings in such a way that we started to think differently, and as that happens, we tend to create another reality, and that by itself, that is really what is human history.
Well, when did the Mayan calendar start then? Not, we're talking about when it's ending, but when did it start?
Well, the way I look upon it, the calendar system is the system that goes to the birth of the universe, which in modern parlance, in the parlance of modern physics, this is the Big Bang.
Okay.
That's not the kind of words that the ancients would use about it. They would probably see the creation or the beginning of time is probably what they would say. They would not look upon this as an event of a sort of a random, just merely physical nature. They would see it as the beginning of a process designed by God or possibly the gods, so to speak. So the Mayan calendar system is like a system of 9 different waves developing on top of each other according to a certain pattern. And these waves are bringing in new phenomena. And so from the very beginning of the universe, they have been bringing not only the Earth into existence, but also all of its animals and human beings, and then driven our minds to create the kind of world that we see today.
Is it sort of like I was thinking of the Fibonacci, you know how there's this kind of shell-like ever-decreasing line that creates kind of a spiral? Is it like, are the waves because they're decreasing in space between each other? Kind of like that?
Well, that's quite possible. I think that might be a good analogy. We sort of now focusing in on a central point or something like that. Some people talk about the approach of a singularity, and maybe that's the kind of metaphor you're referring to. Yeah.
Yeah, and also, you continue to tell about the waves, please, because I don't want to digress from that. That's pretty interesting.
Well, it's an important thing. History really doesn't evolve in a linear fashion. Whatever you study, and we touched upon telecommunications, we can still stand with that. With that example, not because it's the only one, far from it, very far from it, but still it's a good example. And so when there's been certain energies coming in, certain pulses, certain days, periods of creative light, there's been a pulse, something fundamentally new comes in, whether it's been the telephone or the telegraph or the radio or any of those, and that means some kind of a novelty comes in. But then it's also part of this whole evolutionary process. It's usually also periods of what you might say destruction, where old systems fall out. The telegraph is completely fallen out today from use, and the other systems have been transformed, like the telephone. It really has no similarity to the way it was originally designed, and so it's not just a linear progression of these things. It goes in waves with the new things coming in, alternating with old things disappearing and the new things being transformed by pulses.
And the other thing is that so many humans are now being able to be, what would you call it, self-styling as far as communications. We now take them inside and create all our own stuff. That's a huge quantum leap in humanity, is it not?
Yes, I would say so. It's a fundamental, it's quite an amazing change that happened on our current wave, which is the there are 9 waves, each being developed with a higher frequency in the Mayan calendar system, and we're now at the 8th wave, which started in 1999, and that brings something completely new, it seems, where today pretty much anybody can create a book, anybody can create a film, anybody can create a piece of music and have that spread to the rest of humanity. It's a big step.
That's huge, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it's no longer, even the systems for creating these new things, like books or pieces of music or so forth, are no longer controlled necessarily by other people. So it means that, I shouldn't say everyone, but a reasonably large proportion of people have an economic means where they can do whatever they like in these regards and have them distributed. And it's without anybody basically being able to choose what you're doing or control what you're doing, and that's an enormous step. And
it's isn't it amazing? We have our iPhones, and you know, you just look something up when you're out, and it's just pretty amazing,
yeah.
Isn't it?
No, it is really. It's really.
Talk about beginning to write. We're all beginning to be isolated, actually, in our ability to do that whilst we connect with everyone. It's very bizarre.
Yes. So it's.
So tell me, does every one of the waves have its own personality imprint or its own mission, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. They all have their missions. And they all bring their own characteristic phenomena, and then it's not like the waves follow up on one another, and this is important. It's not like one wave replaces another. No, each of the waves are developed on top of another, and in turn providing a base for a new wave to be activated. So this is why the Maya would build these nine storied pyramids that were the metaphors they were using to describe these different waves. That it's, you sort of climb as you climb a pyramid, new levels are activated.
It's kind of like levels of consciousness, isn't it?
Yes, exactly, it is. And so these levels of consciousness determine the way that people are looking at the world in any given wave movement, under the influence of any given wave movement. And this alters the way that they live their lives. And to give you an example, the very famous 5,125-year-long so-called long count, which is really one of nine different waves. It's not the only one, as some people seem to think. No, it's one of nine different waves. And that particular wave, it started with a system of rule that we would, you know, it's like monarchic rule, patriarchal rule, one person based on heritage, you might say, ruling and determining himself, and with rare occasion also herself, but mostly himself, what was going to be done. So that 5,000 years of that wave, it created a particular kind of political system, a particular system of rule that's quite different from the one that started 260 years ago in the mid 1700s, when you get the first democracy coming in. So it's a new it's a new system of rule comes with that particular level.
Oh.
So each of these are creating the human mind in such a way that it creates not only a different system of governance, but it also creates different technologies, different arts, different ways of science, different religions. It all follows these different waves.
So would you say that those waves rise in us also, that it's compatible with us, that we all kind of embrace it?
Yeah, to different degrees we embrace it. And we, but because of the complexity of things, we each one of us becomes a certain hybrid, a certain mixture between these different ways of, different waves that are, have been creating the universe.
Hmm.
So yes, it is exactly that. The reason a certain kind of a rule is carried by a certain wave is simply that most people are so influenced by that particular wave that they see reality in such a way that is exactly consistent with that particular system of governance. Mm-hmm. So people did not oppose the monarchy or the you might say the rule of one person over the many. They didn't oppose it because they, in the reality they were seeing, they thought this is a natural system, basically. Mm-hmm. It's just a projection of the kind of mind that they had at those, that particular time.
Hmm.
Everything comes from the inside, really, in this way of looking at history. Everything is a projection of the inner worlds of the human beings.
Hmm.
But these inner worlds, they also have an origin. They come from the cosmic forces, the cosmic energies, and change with each of these waves.
And the changes are happening so much faster now. So what does that mean? In terms of accepting how rulership functions, that seems to be dissembling right now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it seems so. We are, you know, I mentioned that we are now mostly influenced by the eighth wave. And here a pulse
of
light.
Okay.
Eighth wave, yes. Mm-hmm. The galactic underworld.
Mm-hmm.
And the eighth of the nine waves. And here a period would be, like 360 days. Which is fast.
Right.
By itself. And so shifts between the fundamental energies of days and nights take place every 360 days. But we are now approaching another level, which is the ninth wave. And it will start March 9, 2011, and which will have periods that are as short as 18 days. So they are 20 times shorter. Shorter. And what this means is that this is a wave, I think, that will be something we will not be able to control it. Any system of rules that has an origin at on any of these lower levels will find it very hard to stay in power under the influence of such a rapid kind of change. So, this is brings back to this the conscious convergence that we are will proposing to celebrate July 17, 18, 2010, which is it's not when the ninth and highest wave starts. It's actually a number of days before that. But it is very important, I would say, for people that want to be part of the shift of consciousness that is associated with the end of the Mayan calendar to, at an early point, create the intention that they want to be part of this shift of to consciousness. And especially if the energies will be shifting so quickly as we may predict, it means that it's so important to sort of just know to be aligned with the incoming energies and already has created the intention, yes, I want to be part of this creation of a unity consciousness, and so facilitate for anyone to flow on the way. Because I believe that when this wave comes in with this kind of a high frequency of change, there won't be much time for us to sort of address the what is going on intellectually. There's no things may be falling apart around us and not to try to understand that intellectually, maybe I don't think there will be time to it. What will be important is that we have, what shall I say, we have made up our mind whether we want to be part of the change. And nobody, of course, can force us to that or should force us to us that. That has to be a part, something we make up ourselves and create the intention to create this world.
So it's like a surrender to it. Is it a surrender into it?
Absolutely. That's what I believe. That's mm-hmm. a very good word to use in this, in the time ahead. Mm. So it's, what shall I say? Surrender is a great word, and to be prepared to surrender. And yet, of course, the change is happening through us. So it means we still have to sort of have, be aware of what is going to happen in order how to relate to the different kind of changes that are coming up.
So what happens to the, so already we're seeing a lot of the systems at least being illuminated for whether they have truth and integrity. We're seeing dominances,
yes.
for example, in the economic world that is really kind of crazy. As this intention flows and the ninth wave begins, are we just going to see an increase in the breaking apart of those, or will reality just function fine in those systems as they are?
Well, my sense is that things will break down if they are, or if they're built on dominance, mm-hmm. And especially it's sort of it's a new light coming in, which will create not only the big systems but also ourselves, create a transparency, so to speak, that we. What this means, I believe, is that the systems, if you like, they will become transparent. And if they're not consistent with this new incoming wave of light, then they would tend to fall apart. That's my suspicion.
Hmm.
But it's also that we ourselves do what we can to prepare us for this. As individuals, so that we sort of clean up our insides, that we work through whatever things we have hidden in our dark compartments, so to speak, and so that it's important to be as complete with all your relationships as it possible. That. It's not just the, you know, the Catholic Church that is hiding things.
Right.
They very obviously do. But we as individuals, I think, we're also hiding things. And, that we will need to leave behind, need to accept, and the new incoming light will make it very difficult to hide whatever it is that we're hiding.
So you're saying that our own inner systems are also breaking down. It's not just the big ones out there.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. Or it's a time for a cleanup of our the breaking down may not be. Yes, I might say your word may be very right in the sense that I think our psyches or so. It's sort of sometimes there is certain repressive parts of it that are keeping certain things down, hidden, so they don't have to be worked with and so forth.
Well, you know, I find that right now in my clients, because, you know, I'm an intuitive, and I find myself and my clients are being pushed a lot to clear stuff that's hidden.
Yes.
Hugely, yes.
That's very interesting to hear. It's really exactly what it's all about. So I think we have to see that it's not just the bankers and the Catholic Church, but it's also ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that will affect everyone. This new light and the very rapidly incoming wave of change of consciousness.
It's kind of exciting, isn't it?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's very exciting. And it's easy to say that, see that certain systems will fall down, so to speak, and yet we it's more difficult to see exactly how will they be replaced, and so forth. But it's very easy to see that certain things, they really have they played out their role, I would even say.
I love when you're talking about your book called The Purposeful Universe, and then you talk about the Mayans speak of the unfoldment of history as being a series of, what is it, interferences and, what's the other word, something like, instead of creating history, piling it up on each other, maybe in the nine waves, but they accept the synchronicities as being kind of referential as far as what, how history goes. Is that right? Sort of a non-linear thing?
You would have to re-ask that question. I am not sure exactly how you follow.
I just gathered reading. I'm just trying to find my paperwork here. I just gathered reading just a little bit about your book, and I want you to talk about this book, The Purposeful Universe, that the Mayans did not see life the way we did. It seems that they measured it more by the synchronicities or the interferences rather than the expectations of a linear progression. That's what I understood, and it was a very fast
read. Well, yes, certainly. Yes, it's... The Mayan time, you might say, is different.
That's right. It was
and
the time factor. Mm-hmm.
It's the time, and so now I understand what you're referring to.
Yes.
The Mayan, and this is a key issue, and I don't think everybody who's interested in the Mayan calendar has grasped this. There is a difference between the Mayan calendar and other calendars, and that's why we have reasons to pay attention to it. You know, it was just another mechanically based calendar, like our own, based on astronomical cycles. Why would we pay attention to it? I would say we would not have any reason to pay attention to another just astronomical calendar. But instead, the Mayan calendar is not based on any cycles that are going on here in our local solar system.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it's based on different pulses of energies that are emanating from what the Mayan elders still will refer to as the heart of the heavens. This central world tree is another way of expressing it. And these energies, these waves, are not of the physical nature that we're used to, and so they are actually it's not measurable time,
mm-hmm.
but it's time in the sense that we sometimes refer to as, you know, sometimes we say this is the right time, or it's the kind of time that is creating synchronicities in our lives. So it's sort of an evolutionary pulses that are bringing about the changes in our mentality and also then connecting people and disconnecting people based on these different energies. And this has nothing to do with the commonly used astronomical cycles like the solar year or the month or any precessional cycle or any of those. This is more it's waves that are influencing our minds, and by doing so in synchrony to different people, new processes will be initiated, will be driven forward, and synchronicities will be experienced because these new energies, they are creating new flows, basically, new flows in life.
And if we let those flows move through us, then we rise into more of an integrated self-awareness and connection with synchronicities.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So it's it's a non-linear structure in a way. I mean, it's linear if you look at cosmic heart, but
No. It's a non-linear. It's a non-linear structure. Hmm. It's waveforms that are not linear. It's alternating energies, you might say.
Hmm.
So yes, it is not linear. It's not like following the clock or something like that.
It's a wonderful, wonderful concept. Tell me, through the waves, I don't know which wave, I probably could check it out, probably about 5,000 years ago, but the Great Pyramids and all of that, were these reflections of the waves coming through, or which wave was it? Or
Well, that's the, you know, then you go to the sixth wave, which is the famous long count, which started, to be exact, 3114 BC. And that wave, when it was initiated, for the first time, human beings start to build these huge construction works. And that included very much the Egyptian pyramids. So the very first pulse that came in there gave rise to the human beings creating the first pyramids in the world. The oldest one is believed to be the Saqqara pyramid in Egypt, and which is built in seven different levels, meaning that they then became aware that this wave will have seven pulses, that we will sort of create more and more refined expressions as it went on. So it seems clear that the Egyptians they set their own time of creation very close to the time when the Mayan sixth wave begins. Because that's just the reality of things. A new wave came in, a new creation began.
And pyramids were built all over the world, weren't they?
Yes, they were, but initially they were only built in Egypt and in Sumer, in present-day Iraq. Hmm. But then in later phases, they've been in different parts of the world.
Hmm.
And now they're even, they found this pyramid in a location in Guatemala that's called El Mirador, that they're even discussing whether that could possibly be the largest pyramid in the world. But that's much later. It's part of the ongoing wave, so to speak, and what that created. But the wave was first initiated in Egypt and Sumer.
Tell me, Carl, do you ever think that there are, or have you done any research on this, that some of these downloads, these universal or cosmic downloads, have anything to do with extraterrestrial species or that kind of universal consciousness?
Well, I believe, to begin with, that these waves, they are not just coming to our Earth. I believe that the heart of the heavens, which is the central intelligence of the cosmos, is sending it out all throughout the cosmos. So I believe the whole cosmos, including the 100 billion galaxies or so, they are synchronistically affected by these different waves.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my worldview, the people that might be in other star systems in our galaxy or even in other galaxies, that they are probably starting to think about what is this final time going to bring? How will we transit? What will the world look like? And in the same way that a lot of people are doing here. So in that sense, I think we are all synchronistically affected.
I love that makes more sense than thinking about aliens and ETs. It's more like a big community.
To me it does too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I should say that you know, it's with this view, the Mayan view, that there is a central heart of the heaven that is sort of ongoingly creating the whole universe, it more or less becomes a logical consequence that this is not the only planet where there happens to be life or even human-like species. They're probably all over. Not in every, that seems clear, not every star system has a planet with life, but there's no reason to, it just becomes a logical consequence that there must be many, 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 many places where life is, has also been created.
Yeah, it only makes sense. I want to ask you another thing about that as we go up through this curling, the shortening distances between the waves and the complexities of the waves.
Yeah.
Do you think that we're going to be, this is my kind of preferred belief, but I don't know if it's actually true yet, but we're going to be able to reach through different dimensions to talk about communications, to communicate with other beings throughout the cosmos, if you will, without any difficulty, without being special, without being the only one or the prophet, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think so. You know, it's and I don't know. But the
seems like that might be part of the communication thing, hey?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in this worldview that is associated with the Mayan calendar, it is what is the way we what should I say? The different waves are bringing different consciousness,
mm-hmm.
and that consciousness it very fundamentally determines what we can perceive, what we can be aware of, basically. And so when the ninth wave comes in, which really is meant to be a wave that makes us like citizens of the universe, not of a particular country, and not even of this particular earth, but citizens of the universe. It may
I love
be
that.
That good, yes, I do too. And it may then very much bring a shifted perception that we finally learn how to see whatever beings there are on other planet systems.
Oh, Carl, I want that so much. I can't tell you.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do. It seems
it's
like we
time.
Want that.
It's time.
It's time. Mm-hmm. And seeing these other, why is it that we have this urge to see extraterrestrials, you might say, or have it acknowledged? Well, I think it really is a way for us to acknowledge that we are truly cosmic beings ourselves,
mm-hmm.
that we are ultimately spiritual, and that's what our purpose is.
And I think don't you think we have a yearning that goes up through the waves? Don't you think we have a yearning to meet each wave and to move our way through to a greater embodiment?
Oh yes, yes. But I think also we are not the same in this. Some people do more than others, I think. But yes.
I think that's true. You're right. I was just contemplating how certain people have always been that way, even though they were in the first wave or whatever, right?
Yes. Yes, it seems so. It seems some people, for some reason, are more inclined to sort of just flow and have this yearning for the spiritual community of the cosmos, whereas other people may be more resistant and more wanting to stay in a material environment that seems safe to them.
Yes, and this makes me want to say to you, let's talk about money.
Yeah, okay.
Some people want to stay on the planet, so we better get the money thing figured out here.
Yes.
Because we've been fairly much betrayed by whoever's in charge of the money thing, I believe, anyway. And I could be being naive or simplistic, but I know you have quite a bit of perception on what's gone on in the global economic power range.
Well, I have these basic. My basic view is that these the way the economy evolves is not determined exactly only by the human beings themselves. So these waves that we've been talking about, and rightly so, I think, they are also ultimately behind the ups and downs in the world economy. And we talked about a little bit that there are certain time periods that are days, which are periods that foster creativity and innovation. Mm-hmm. And then they alternate with periods that are nights, which are periods of rest or contemplation, you might say, sometimes even destruction. And if you look at this, the 250-year-long wave that created all of the industrial evolution of this planet, you will find that very sharply there is a relationship that whenever there is a period of light coming in, there will be new innovations, because the light goes up to the inventors and all these people who are technically creative, and what happens is that they come up with new inventions, and then the economy starts to grow, and so these periods of light in the Mayan calendar have been periods of economic upturns. Hmm. On the other hand, when the periods that are nights are initiated, we can very clearly see how there are downturns in the economy, because creativity falls, and then everything basically slows down. Mm-hmm. And we all know about the Great Depression that happened in 1932-33. Those were the worst years in the world. And that happens exactly when the Lord of Darkness starts to rule in according to the Mayan calendar system. Mm. So economy is not something that's separate from these waves. Mm. It's fundamentally conditioned by these different waves.
Well, where's that Lord right now?
Well, this Lord actually started its rule, and its rule has ended. But I should tell you this, that this Lord, he also had a time period when he was to rule in our current only 13-year-long wave. And so based on this, I think 10 years ago, I predicted that an economic downturn would start by the end, actually I said the end of November of 2007. Hmm. And this is exactly what happened. In December, the economic downturn started. And you could then, from that point, you can see how the New York Stock Exchange went down and down and down until when you got deeper into that particular night period, then you had the Lehman Brothers and the Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae and everything like that. All the crises associated with the bailouts and so forth. So that prediction, it verifies that yes, the different economic waves are fundamentally conditioned by these waves of the Mayan calendar.
And then they hit some people in a controlling way, is that it? As they hit some people in, because it seems there's a lot of greed, I mean, or it's the power structure, if I get the most, you won't, and that seems to be having to come to an end or something. Seems like there's some kind
something
of extreme.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yes. So on top of these different systems of rule that I talked about that has been established by these lower waves, starting with the pharaohs and the kings and so forth, and now we came to another level 250 years ago when you might say we were allowed to vote for the kings, basically.
Right.
They became presidents, but they still rule. There's still a system of rule that we all know that there is a separation between the rulers and the ruled. And very much that is based on economic power in our own time. And I believe that it's only when the consciousness shifts with the ninth wave mm-hmm. that this will really become transparent to people in such a way that we choose to establish systems of exchange, systems of economy that are much more fair.
That value all people.
The value of people
and
life. Also the, you know, just making the system fair, that we again start to value not necessarily just the abstract holdings like paper bills or digits in computers and so forth, but is that is the concrete reality that we're living in. That's what we start to see again.
Which includes the atmosphere and the earth and all of that, eh?
Very much so. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of a return of the spiritual values, if you like, also of our natural environment that is returning. We will, it is our way of seeing that will change. Our, mm-hmm. our perception, our vision will be altered. Mm-hmm. And when that change comes, with that shift in consciousness, that's when that brings all the resulting changes in the economic system and so forth.
And it is being felt by some already, isn't it?
It's being sought, you're saying?
Felt, like experienced inside of many people.
Oh yes. It's mm-hmm. it's already coming, and in different degrees.
Well, you know, this we could talk for a long time because you're absolutely yeah. fascinating and very inspiring. So I would like to, I unfortunately have to sign us off, but I'd like you to mention the current materials that you're offering for people to experience more of an integration of this information.
Oh, okay. Yes. Thank you. Yes. So there are many different ways. I have then a website, kalaman.com.
And it's a great website, I have to say that. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah. And so there, I especially want people to look at the articles that are the recent articles about the upcoming Conscious Convergence, July 17th, 18th, 2010. And which is like a second harmonic convergence. For those that remember that from 1987. But it's maybe a little bit more conscious, you might say. It's not just spontaneous. It is meant for those that want to create the intention to manifest unity consciousness. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's based on the idea that not only ask and it shall be given, but we have to ask. Otherwise, it will not be given. Mm. There are so many people now talking about a shift of consciousness, but unless this happens to be living on a collective level, on a large group of people all over the world, and manifesting this clearly as an intention, we really have no reason to be so certain that everything will go according to the cosmic plan.
Mm. Well, that's important information.
Yes, I think it is very important information. Mm-hmm. I don't believe the cosmic plan will force upon us this kind of a change in our mentality. We'll have to, yes, it will make it possible. It will facilitate it, but we'll have to intend it. We'll have to ask for it in order for it to happen. And so the conscious convergence is meant for that.
Excellent. So it's www.kalaman.com.
Yes. So that's it. And I think on my website you find the information for all the kind of degrees of different how deeply you want to go into this matter. There are online courses available. There are books. There are DVDs. But if you just want to taste it, so to speak, I think those most recent articles are the ones that I think are the most important for you to look at, and then go from there to deepen things.
And The Purposeful Universe is your most current book, isn't it?
Yes, it came in October, and it sort of outlines the way that the heart of the heavens is creating life. And it's quite a scientific book, really, because that's my basic trade. But it really brings together, I think, science and spirituality in a way that really makes sense on a tremendously deep level. So that's my most recent book, and there are earlier books that I also recommend, and they are in my website.
Wonderful. And a little bit about your history, because unfortunately time's up, but I would love to have known more about who you are. But there's a little bio on there, isn't there?
There's a little bio on there, yes. And so that's there too.
Well, I hope to speak with you again, and maybe as we're heading toward the new, I was going to call it the convergence. That's right, isn't it? Conscious convergence.
Yes.
I would like that very much. And are you coming back over here soon?
Yes, I think in 10 days I'll be back.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time, and it was wonderful. I've learned a great deal, and I'm sure my listeners and your listeners have too.